And the last time that we came together a couple weeks ago and we looked at Acts chapter 15, we talked about the letter that was being written to the Gentile believers to reassure them that they didn't have to become Jews before they could become Christians. And that Christianity is really the fulfillment of all of the Jewish tradition from before. And that's what Jews need to go toward is belief in their Messiah. And so what had happened was many people were coming to the Lord and in the Gentile world. And whenever they would come to know Jesus, then these Judaizers would come along and ones of the nature of the Pharisees. And they would say, okay, well, it's really nice that you came to believe in our Messiah. Now what you got to do is here's just a few laws we need you to start keeping, and you need to keep them all. You need to keep every last one of them. There's 613 here that I'm exampling that come from the Old Testament laws. And so can you imagine the burden that must have felt like to those Gentiles who had just come to the Lord? And they're all happy because they feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. How many of you can remember whenever you gave your heart to Jesus and you first felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? And it's just like, oh yeah, this is freedom. This is amazing. And then somebody walks up to you, a whole group of them, and they say, oh, well, that's real nice. Yeah, okay, here's the rest of the story. You need to keep all this. And they just wrap it around you, and it just becomes this thing that binds you. And, you know, unfortunately, there's even denominations today that are still trying to insist that somehow this is what saves you right here, but we know it isn't. You see, Jesus fulfilled the law, and that's why he was able to save us, and that we have freedom in Christ to follow him. And they just wrote a real short little letter, and they told him, you know, that the main things were that they needed to abstain from things polluted to idols, from things that were strangled, and from the blood of animals. Don't be just partaking of the blood of animals, and from sexual immorality. And if they kept those things, it would be good. That would be as much burden as the church in Jerusalem, and which would have been the beginning of the church there, with those Jewish believers, that would be all that they would require of them. And so it's time for the apostles at this point to branch out and to continue the work of God. And I just want you to know, sometimes as we continue the work of God, it can seem a little overwhelming. And you guys notice that as soon as you signed up with Jesus, you thought, oh, it's over. But then you realize it really has only just begun. So the rest of your life then is in his hands, being used of him to continue this mission that he has for us. What is Jesus' mission for the church? Can anyone tell me? What's his mission for the church? Seeking to save those that are lost. And he gave us a great commission. Can anybody tell me the great commission? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Can someone recite that for me? You can even look it up and read it. That's a good part of it right there. There's a couple more details that are in there. So, go therefore. That was good. You got the teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you, right? So you see how we need each other? Because just like right here, we're piecing this thing together through some of the believers in the church. And that's why. Yeah, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. He actually said, go therefore, because he's given us all this power. He has all the power. Go therefore and make disciples. That's the call of the church right there. Make disciples. So yeah, it preaches the gospel and it's making converts, but ultimately it's making disciples, right? Of all nations, not just some of them, right? He wants us to go to all of the ends of the earth, right? Making disciples of all nations, baptizing them, we got that part, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you, right? And he says, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. I think that lo is an important part of that. You see, sometimes we can feel pretty overwhelmed by the first part of that. Now, how in the world am I going to go to all nations and teach everybody to observe everything Jesus has commanded? Right? That's an overwhelming thing. And if we try to do that just in the power and strength of our own flesh, we're going to get really tired and burned out and overwhelmed, and we're not going to be able to handle it. But that, lo, I am with you even to the end of the age, end of time, until Jesus comes back, His Spirit is with us, is what He's saying. So I want us to remember, and it's exemplified here in the latter part of chapter 15 in Acts, that God's power completes the mission. You see, He calls us to be faithful. He wants us to be involved. He wants to do it through us. But ultimately, it's His power that is completing the mission through us. Amen? His power, the power of God. For every believer that's bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have surrendered your hearts to Him, His power is living in you. Do I get an amen? You guys are awful quiet this morning. Am I going to have to get you up and stretch a little bit here and say hello to everybody? I need you with me on this one, okay? If you are a Christian, His power lives in you. Do I get an amen? This is kind of a big deal, guys, because this is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it says in the Scripture. That's power. You got that kind of power, you've got all the power you need to be able to complete and finish this race with Jesus. So, what happens is, a lot of times, we're in the battle, and we see things coming against us, and just like here, they saw these Jewish believers who had gotten a little carried away with the law, and even some Judaizers who were all about the law came in. They started aggravating everybody. They were aggravating Paul everywhere he went. They were trying to put this burden on top of all these new believers and trying to tell them, man, you got to follow all 613 of those laws to the T, or you can't really be a Christian. And so there's setbacks whenever we see new believers coming to the Lord. And so do I get an amen to that? Do you ever feel any setbacks in your own life? You come to the Lord and you got a setback. And for those who may be just now getting ready to follow the Lord, I'm going to warn you up front. There's going to be some setbacks. For those of you that are trying to disciple other people, I'm going to warn you up front. There's going to be some setbacks and some disappointments. But here's the deal. You see, it's God's power that completes the mission. And so let's just look to Him. As we look here at Acts chapter 15, starting at verse 30, this is after the letter's been sent out, okay? And the guidelines have been set forth. And then in verse 30, so when they were sent off, there were some delegates that were going to take the letters. They came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. So Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. But after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." So follow-up is important in this thing of discipleship. Do you all agree with that? You bring somebody new to the Lord, they're like a babe in Christ. We've got a little baby in our house here at the church that everybody just loves to hold and to enjoy. Can anybody tell me what his name is? Mr. Sawyer, yeah, in unison. Everybody enjoys Sawyer. Well, we didn't just bring Sawyer into the world and then just set him over in a corner and say, "Boy, you know, one of these days he's going to become a teenager and he's going to be able and we're going to give him a driver's license and all of that. So, Sawyer, you just let us know when you're all grown up." That ain't how it works. You see, we love Sawyer. We want Sawyer to grow. And he's got a wonderful mother who just does such a good job taking care of him and his daddy. And all of the church family enjoys taking care of him as well. And so we're going to nurture that little baby. You see, we're going to follow up with him on a regular basis. And that's what it's like here too. And so Paul and Barnabas had gone out preaching the gospel in these Gentile areas. And people were coming to the Lord. And they take this letter back to Antioch where they had started. And they said, "Now it's time for us to go back and visit all of those places. Let's go follow up and see how they're doing." And so then in verse 37, so all this is a good plan, right? Because they're supposed to teach them all things which Jesus has commanded. That's going to take some time. So this is a good plan. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So we got a contention. And then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul took Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. Guys, even within the body of Christ, sometimes we're going to have some disagreements. Amen? You know, we would pray that we'd be able to, you know, get past them by the aid of the Holy Spirit and continue on. But I want you to know that even though these imperfect men are having a disagreement, God's still at work. And if we continue to watch how this plays out, what we find is God's power takes their disagreement and doubles the effort is what he winds up doing. And so it's an amazing thing what God can do. And in verse 41, and he went through Syria, so this is speaking of Paul, and in Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So here's the deal. God's power brings unity among his people. We really need to look for that, okay? And so we see back in verse 22, whenever they're dealing with this situation, with drafting this letter to tell the Gentiles how to live, we see that it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church. So they had unity. Unity is a good thing. In fact, we read all the way back in the book of Psalms. It talks about how beautiful it is whenever God's people meet together in unity. It's an awesome thing. It feels good whenever we have the unity among the church. Amen? Well, here's the deal, guys. Sometimes, even though God desires unity among us, we are all separate people, aren't we? And we all have opinions, and we all have different personalities. And from time to time, we're going to have little disagreements. Do I get an amen? We can't pretend like we don't. We're people, right? We can't let that stop us from completing the mission because, you see, God's power's in this thing. And God's got a plan. And so, just like you can't choose your blood relatives, God did that choosing for you. We may not always get along, but we're still family, right? We'll figure it out. It's the same way in the body of Christ. This is just a bigger family. And so we've got this wonderful unity that's being experienced. And you know, and we see it played out. They even caused unity for the Gentile believers in verses 28 and 29. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden than these necessary things. And then they lay it out for them to abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled and sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you'll do well. Farewell. But I'll tell you what, just as sure as the church is experiencing a great victory, Satan tries to penetrate and divide. Do I get an amen to that? And I can tell you, I've been really sensing a sweet spirit in this church. And have y'all been noticing the same thing? You know, the different things we've been doing together, it's been really a sweet spirit in all of it. Satan is waiting right now to get right in the middle and split things up. He's going to cause misunderstandings. And it'll be over just like one statement, and all of a sudden it's going to trip your trigger, and you're going to be madder than a hornet. And what you need to understand is that's Satan doing that. Don't you take the bait from him, because you know what can happen if we take that bait? Whole churches have been split up over the smallest, simplest little things. I know JD's nodding up here because he remembers a church that got split over a fork that got thrown away. Amen? I've heard that story a couple times. You wouldn't think. But you see, it gets all built up in our mind because this Satan, his word devil literally means one who penetrates. He's constantly trying to penetrate into the church to try to stir up trouble and try to get the believers to scatter because he don't want us united, you see. He even did it with the super apostle Paul. We get to see in this scripture that, you know, Paul was a great guy. I would love to be like Paul. Amen? He was amazing, but even he had a human heart that sometimes could be pricked to where he even got in such a dispute here that he and his best buddy Barnabas wound up not being able to continue on together for a time. So I can tell you, Satan can get any of us. Now, John Mark, this guy that's being discussed here, this is actually the guy who wrote the Gospel of Mark. He's a pretty significant person in the whole church scene, okay? Now, apparently, Mark made a little bit of a mistake here, and he decided to depart from the missionary journey. He probably got scared. Have you ever been frightened before? And maybe he found out something was going on with his family back home. I don't know what all the details were, but whenever they got to Pamphylia, he ditched them. And Paul said, that's it. He ditched me once. Dog bites me once. Shame on the dog. He bites me twice. Shame on me. That's what Paul was saying. I'm not taking him again. Well, I can tell you guys, later on we find out in Scripture that Paul actually changed his heart on this a little bit. Okay? He saw that Mark was actually a pretty faithful guy. And we're even going to read a little bit later on that he talks about Mark later on in his life. Now we see this from the human side of it, and we see, oh dear, this is the most horrible thing that could have ever happened. Oh no, the church is going to fall apart. But God said, well, I'm just going to use this as an opportunity to send out more missionaries. And so we're going to see a map in a little bit as well. You'll find out that what winds up happening is they wind up this whole big circuit. It went to Antioch first, and then it went up through the world, and then it came back down through Cyprus and back to Antioch. So what winds up happening here is at this point, they kind of went up both ends and came toward the middle. And so it's kind of neat what God did here. Then the person who was last on the circuit got a meeting from some of the apostles. You see, God's Spirit was still working, even though the people were having a hard time getting along. Can I get an amen to that? God's Spirit's still working, even if we might have some little things that we're trying to figure out. God's Spirit has a plan, and He's working, and we need to trust Him and know it's Him that completes the mission. You see, the apostles stayed committed to the mission, even though they were having this little problem. Even though Satan had kind of gotten in there and started a contention, the apostles stayed committed to the mission, and it's God who completes it. But Paul chose Silas. Okay, he said, well, maybe I can't go with Barnabas. And remember now, Barnabas is the guy who stood up for Saul whenever Saul first became a Christian. Nobody would even talk to him because he was such a wicked persecutor of the church. Everybody was like, don't let him in our church. We know what he's up to. But Barnabas was a son of encouragement that said, hey, this Paul, he's a good guy. This Saul, you need to trust him. But at this point, Paul chooses Silas, and we find out that they became a great team. You see, God did a great thing through this, even though their sin was in the midst of it. And being commended by the brethren, the grace of God, and he went throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening churches. Kept that main goal. And what's the main goal? Make disciples of all nations. Kept that goal in mind. So did Barnabas. They continued on. Church, I'm going to say, we got to continue on. Keep the goal in mind. That's what will keep us united in the future, is the goal. Okay? Not just everybody's personality. Hopefully, you don't just come here because you like the preacher, because sometimes you're probably not going to like the preacher. Amen? Go ahead. You guys can hit me with it. You know, sometimes we're going to have disagreements. It's all right, but you see, the mission's still clear. What you need to ask yourself about the preacher is not just about my personality, which you may or may not like sometimes. It's about whether or not this preacher is about Jesus. And whether or not this preacher brings you the Word of God clearly. Whether or not this preacher is really wanting to be about the mission and continue on the mission. And if this preacher is, then you should feel safe in this congregation that we can continue to do this together. Amen? You know, sometimes we get all about looks and personalities and parties. And we can get distracted. Keep the mission in mind. That's what the apostles did. They kept the mission in mind. They kept the mission in mind. It was making disciples, and they continued on. And so God continued to work in them. The power of God doubles the effort. He's the one who does the doubling of the effort. Even when we're having disagreements and we may be struggling, we may be trying to figure things out, God keeps going. In Romans chapter 5, verses 20 through 21, we can see that it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. It's a beautiful example of that. Sin abounded in this situation, but grace abounded even more. And then it goes on to say, so that as sin reigned in death, so even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But guys, here's the deal. That's no excuse for our sin. Amen? That doesn't excuse our sin. In fact, it goes on to say in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You see, God desires that unity, and so we need to keep working on it. But even while we're working on it, God's still doing His mission. Amen? He's still reaching the world, and He wants to do it through United Church. And so we stumble and we have our problems, but God's still working, and He'll still keep bringing us together. And if we look, since God desires that unity and bring it, if He'll be the one to bring it, He'll do it if we'll let Him. In 2 Timothy, right at the end of Paul's life, listen to what he says. He says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." He's talking to Timothy. "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Now listen to this last part. "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry." I say, praise God. You know, they had a little contention at one time, but he saw through Mark's life, it proved out Mark was a true child of God who was about the same mission, and the mission united him. In the last part of his life, he's recognizing just the true value of Mark's faith. That's called humility, folks. You know, our humility will go a long ways as we continue to love one another, as we continue to love the mission and keep the mission first. You see, God wants that unity, and He'll bring it if we'll let Him. They just continued on the mission. God brought it back around. He'll do it for us too. You know, Cadet Baptist Church has been here for a while. It kind of died out at one point because people were kind of following the pastor. When the pastor died, the church died. But some others came along. Bill and Sharon were part of that crew that came along. And what year was that, Sharon? Do you remember? In 1989, they saw that God had planted a church out here. God still wanted a church out here. And so they came with some other couples, and they restarted Cadet Baptist Church. And I'm going to say, God still wants this church here. So let's continue about the mission, the goal. Keep our eyes on that goal. I want you to turn with me. We're not going to have a slide for this. If you have your Bibles, you can look at Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. You'll find Esther not too far before Psalms. Let's turn back there to Esther in chapter 4. Esther had an unusual position as a Jew, an Israelite. She was in a enemy territory living, where they had been taken away captive. And she had become the wife to the king. And at this point, it was actually undisclosed that she was a Jew to him. There was an edict that was put out that was basically going to destroy all the Jewish people. They had made the Jewish people free game to the enemy to just take and plunder them and kill them at will, and there would be no penalty by law. It was a terrible, terrible law that was made by a terrible person who was led by the devil to do this. And now Mordecai was a righteous man, and he was Esther's cousin. And so Mordecai came and sent a message to be told to Esther that this was going to happen. And we'll pick it up at verse 13. Esther was like, she sent a message back to Mordecai and said, "Look, even the king's servant and the people and everything know that you can't go before the king unless you're invited. You die if you do." Okay? So, like, I'm not so sure I'm going to do this. She was his wife, but still. But listen to what Mordecai tells her in verse 13. Esther chapter 4, verse 13. "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place.'" See, God's sovereign, guys. God can bring it. He's got the power. But you see, the question is, are we going to be faithful? And so that's the question for Esther. Are you going to be faithful? And he's reminding her, God can do it in another way, but you and your father's house will perish. Brothers and sisters, I think the big question is our house, our children, our families, are they going to continue on in the faith? Are they going to have the blessing? Yet, who knows, and this is what he says, whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You see, God still wants to work on the United States of America. God still wants to reach out to your neighbors. God still wants to reach the world, even the Middle East. Amen? He wants to use us to do it. We can say no, and I'll say God's powerful enough, He can still do it. But that's not going to excuse us. I think we need to say yes and be willing. So we're going to end with kind of the pastor's message to Cadet Baptist Church today, because we got to hear the message to the early church here that they were getting from it. They might have division, but God's truth, His power still marches on. Get in step with God. So here's my message to us today. Let's stay true to God and dedicated to His mission, and He will help us complete it with unity. So we're going to have times that we don't always just exactly, you know, even in a house, in a home, it's like that, right? All you married couples out there, have you experienced times that you don't always see everything just exactly the same? Guys, we got to stay focused on God. If we'll put God at the center of our crosshairs, our sights, He'll help us work it out. He wants us to. Amen? And He will as a church too, because if we'll keep Him in focus, He'll help us complete, and He will actually unify along the way. Amen? So let's keep God always at the forefront. Some of us may just need to get God at the forefront. You may be living for yourself and have been all your life, and it's time for you to consider, have I really trusted Jesus in faith? It takes a moment. Some moment in your life, you're going to need to do that. If you don't, you're going to die and go to hell, because you're going to have to pay for your own sin. You can't do it. You'll spend the rest of eternity in hell, separated from the goodness of God. Here's the deal, guys. If you'll do that, God will send His Spirit. His Spirit will live in you. And here's the deal. His Spirit will give you everything you need to fulfill the task He gives you. It's not just on you. God will help you. He'll be your strength. He'll be the one who lifts you up. He'll be the one who helps you complete the mission. Let's pray. Dear God, help us complete the mission. We want to stay true to You. We want to be faithful. The only way we can is by the power that God will put in us. Lord, send Your power. Send Your Holy Spirit. Fill us. Help us to be humble. Help us to be willing to be used of You. Help us to keep Your mission central in our focus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.